Psalm 100 is a short psalm. It's kind of good when I could say we're going to read the whole psalm this morning as we look at five verses. Psalm 100, starting at verse 1. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. I want you to know that really is exalting the Lord. If that's your heart this morning, and as you say that, that is your way of offering up a prayer, I want you to know that you are exalting the Lord this morning. That is your way of worshiping, so to speak, from the Bible, on the holy mountains of God. And that is your song back to the Lord. That is your singing of a new song. That is your acknowledging God for your salvation. That is acknowledging God that in the midst of all the trials and tribulations that you may go through, that you say, you know what, I've got to stay focused on God. I've got to stay focused on the things of God. I've got to just sometimes even force ourselves. Because if you're too caught up in the circumstance, sometimes you've got to force yourself to worship. But here's the thing that God does. When you take that step of faith, pretty soon you're entering into worship. You're entering in and it's not mechanical. It doesn't come hard. And then God does amazing things in the midst of that. Psalm 92 says, "It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High. But you, O Lord, are exalted forever." I want to say something with all my heart this morning. I believe we are blessed people, both as a nation and in our individual lives. I'm not saying that we don't have any problems, but I want you to know this morning, I believe with all my heart that we're a blessed people, that we're a blessed nation. But in the same sentence, I want to say this morning that I believe as a nation, especially, we are the most ungrateful people that there is also. When you start and you see all the things that are going on in other countries, and you begin to see all the things that are happening, we can see very quick that because we are a blessed nation, we should be walking with the Lord. As a blessed nation, we should be reaching out to others. As a blessed nation, we should be not so much focused on ourselves, but watching and being sensitive to all the people around us, and then that's when reality sets in. We start to look at a nation that really were probably the most ungrateful. And it used to be that the Americans were people would want the Americans to come into some of these other countries, and now it begins. You can see and hear some things that they don't want the Americans to come. They're the spoiled brats of the world, so to speak, and they're selfish and they're rude, and they can't say thank you, and they expect more than what they want to give out. And then we see that as a nation we've forgotten God. It's one thing if you forget to tell your neighbor thank you, but it's another thing once we have an attitude and we begin to forget to tell God thank you. It begins to be ingrained in our nature. It begins to be hard to do that. And the longer we have this inability to say thank you, the harder we get. And I see that happening all over. We have gone from this verse in the psalm, and from entering his gates with thanksgiving and praise to entering his gates and complaining severely. That has turned the shift, and we begin walking away from God. We begin complaining more than we're praising. Did you get that? We begin to be more complaining to God than bringing Him praise. Thanksgiving Day was set up for a day to be thankful. I laugh sometimes being the preacher, and we have a meal on Thanksgiving Day and our family comes together. Some of my family members are so afraid that I'm going to go into a sermon that they say, keep it short, Uncle. Keep it short. You know, don't let the food get cold. But I want you to know something. It's a day that we should be thankful. It should be a day of reflecting. It should be a day of coming back and seeing what God has done. In 1789, George Washington said this. He says, "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly implore His protection and favor." That was the attitude of America in 1789. Realizing that it's the duty of every American, it's the duty of all nations to realize and acknowledge God for being almighty, to acknowledge that we need to be obedient. Psalm 100 was written from King David's heart, a man that we all know he made some mistakes, but yet the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart because his attitude changed. That psalm was written to remind us of our need to be thankful and to maintain gratitude for our God and our Creator. You know that the average person spends more time watching TV in one day. Let me say that again, just in case you thought I stuttered. The average person spends more time watching TV in one day than they spend in all spiritual pursuits combined for the whole week. Most people have a Bible, but a lot of them don't know what's in it. And we call ourselves Christians, but we're not living according to biblical Christianity. And our greatest enemy in this Western world, and I believe this with all my heart, the greatest enemy in the Western world is materialism, spiritual pride, complacency, and self-sufficiency. Thinking that we have all the answers. We can fix it. It's kind of Tim the Tool Man attitude. More power, and I can fix it. And it leads us into troubles. Y'all know the illustration that I've said once before about a lady that gave this little boy an orange. And the mother walks up to the little boy and says, "What do you say?" And he looks at her and says, "Peel it." And it'll sink in just a minute. But that is the attitude. That is the attitude. We've lost the attitude of saying thankful. We've lost the attitude of being grateful for what we have more than complaining for the things that we don't have. And it doesn't take long as you look at this psalm, and it doesn't take long as you look at the attitude and where America's heading, that we all need a reminder that we need to turn back to the Lord. We need to stop and take a moment, purposely take a moment, stop what you're doing and reflect on how good God is and thank Him for what He's done in our lives. A medical missionary over in India developed a cure for progressive blindness. It was some kind of a salve that would stop this whole tribe or this whole group of people in India from progressively going blind. And so he would bring them in and he would do this treatment, and they realized that without him doing this that they would eventually go blind. But none of them ever said thank you. You know why they never said thank you? Thank you is not in their language. They have no way in their language to say thank you. The only thing that they do is they say that they'll speak His name. That is their way of saying thank you. Instead of coming up to somebody and thanking them for something they did, when something gracious happens to them, they say, "I'll remember your name. I'll say your name." And what they went around doing is wherever they went, they would mention this missionary's name and tell them how he cured them of blindness. But in their vocabulary was never to say thank you. But they had received this special blessing, and they went and proclaimed it. And that's what I want to say to you this morning. That's what this psalm is with King David. He is teaching us that we got to realize that God is so good that we can't keep it inside. We've got to say thank you. We've got to tell others of what God has done in our lives. The joy that He is in our lives. This Thursday is Thanksgiving. One day we set aside to give thanks. But really, truth be told, If we're going to live a life of thanksgiving, it should be every day. You can't only thank God one day a year. It's like Christmas saying, God, thanks for the presents. Or, you know, Turkey Day, thanks God that I'm full and you're just sitting back in your lazy chair ready to take your nap. You've got to remember that every day if you're going to live that life of being thanksgiving. When King David and the Apostle Paul throughout the Bible talk about thanksgiving, there's always these words that just always are in the sentence. It's not far behind. In the sentence is always the word praise, thanksgiving, always, continually, and in all circumstances. These are all the way that these verses start to let us know that it's continual. See, I love it because God is amazing. Israel, sitting in the desert, grumbling that they had no food, God miraculously brings manna, you know, bread from heaven, sends it to them. All they got to do is pick it up. And what happens? We read throughout that whole text there that they murmured and grumbled and complained. They got to the point where they said, hey, it's the same old stuff all the time. Now, if you're hungry and God did a miracle, why would we complain because it's the same old thing until God brings us out of that circumstances? You know, in scriptures that there's 10 lepers that are healed and only one comes back to acknowledge back to God that, you know, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for healing me. Only one came back. The rest quickly forgot where their blessing came from. And a baby is ungrateful. I know. You don't like that because you're a precious little one, maybe. But I want you to know something. A baby is ungrateful. You can walk that baby all night long, sitting there with colic. And you can walk him all night long, and he will never say thank you. He will either crash from exhaustion or keep on crying, but he's not going to say thank you. A child has to be taught. Okay, now get this. And any of you parents have already got this. A child has to be taught to be thankful. You have to teach a child to be thankful. You have to teach them to share. You have to teach them that everything they see isn't theirs. And everything that they see doesn't belong to them. And you have to teach them that they don't have a right to every single thing that they see. So not only does thanksgiving have to be expressed, it has to be learned. Amen. So there's three things real quickly I want you to see in this portion of scripture. There are three things. You can write these down. Number one is this: expressing our thankfulness. You know, that's to God and to others. Don't forget to express your thankfulness. The second part is commit to thanksgiving to God and to others. And the third part is living. You know, kind of thanks living, and our attitude of thanksgiving lived out. So number one, expressing our thankfulness. First of all, let me just say in front of everybody, I thank you all for this past month that you've showered me with all kinds of your expressions of pastor appreciation for the whole month. I mean that to me is something that I won't forget. I appreciate it. I'm very grateful for all of you that give me that support and your kindness and your expressions of thankfulness. Have you ever wondered why you park on a driveway and drive on a parkway? Think about it a second. Have you ever thought of that? Why you park on a driveway and why you drive on a parkway? And the only thing I can come up with is that we have so many words that don't really express what's happening in our lives. It's, you know, they have different meanings to the way that you use them in a sentence. And guys, sometimes we get in trouble because we don't get it right. We don't use the right word. We put our emphasis on the wrong word sometimes, and we get ourselves into trouble. Not that it's ever happened to me. But sometimes I just wish God would just show us that a word only has one meaning so that you don't mess it up. You know, God, don't give me these words that mean three different things. And if I raise my eyebrow, it means one thing. And if I have a frown on my face, it means something else. Because without knowing, I might have twitched and got it wrong. God, just show me how one way how it's you so that I can figure it out. And I'll say this week. Try this. Tell someone close to you, thank you. Tell someone close to you, thank you, because usually the ones that are closest to you are the ones that we forget to say thank you to. And be very direct. Not that it's ever happened to me, but be very direct and don't make them guess what you're trying to say. Tell them, show them, and show your appreciation. The Bible says, serve the Lord with gladness. And realize that each time you feed the hungry, you do the work of the Lord. Each time you show an act of kindness, we are serving the Lord. We are expressing thankfulness. The Bible says, in as much as you have done it unto one of the least of these, you have done it unto me. So number one is expressing your thankfulness. Number two is commitment to being thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I want you to know something, and it's hard, but we can't only thank God when things are going good. That's the way we want to act, and I'm guilty like everybody else. You know, this message got me first before I brought it to you. We've got to thank God in all circumstances. We don't have to like it, but we have to acknowledge that God is God. And sometimes we're going to go through some hard times, and we can't only thank God when everything is going our way. Dr. Robbins says this, I used to think people complained because they had a lot of problems, but I have come to realize that they have a lot of problems because they complain. Should I read that again? I used to think people complained because they had a lot of problems, but I have come to realize that they have a lot of problems because they complain. I heard one preacher say, we have it so good, we enjoy it too much, and we express it too little. Amen. And that really does sum it up. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Now hear me for a second. This is your serious side of your pastor. We have all heard poor people jokes, right? We have all heard poor people jokes. Your mama is so poor, she goes to Kentucky Fried Chicken to lick other people's fingers. It'll sink in just a minute. Now I want to ask you a question. How poor were you as a child? Here's where I'm going with this. How poor were you as a child? Most of us, not all of us, but most of us grew up with less than we have today. That's where we're at. Most of us grew up that we have less with what we have today. We have lived the American dream. And the American dream is this, that you give your kids more than what you have. That is the dream that most every parent has. And I want to say this, that if we're not careful, we've gone to the other extreme. We've gone to the other extreme. In our hopes to give kids more than we had, we've dangerously has crossed the line, and we've dangerously got to the point where we don't want to go. That we've got to be careful. We are rich in stuff. Paraphrased, we are rich in the junk of stuff that we have. Closets full, garages full, attics full. But we are the poorest in spiritual awareness. We are spiritually poor in the sense that, you know, have we counted our blessings lately? As the song goes, have we named them one by one? If that were true, we would realize how much stuff God has already given us. how much He has allowed us to have. There are people in other countries that live on for a whole year what you live on in a week or two. Over in the Philippines, they live, the average salary is $1,000 for the year. And we're in a blessed nation. We're in a blessed nation that we have an abundance. And not only do we have an abundance, and we sometimes use those toys carelessly, or we buy more than we need to, or we forget about others in our hopes to bring pleasure to ourselves. We forget that so much of the other part of the world has so much less, and probably in most cases live happier than we do. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from God, but let's not forget God in the process. I think it's more like we live our lives like a buffet. Instead of eating to live, we live to see how much we can get. It's like when you go to the buffet. They're not going to get my money. I'm going to come out better on this deal. And you go until you explode. I want you to know that, you know, we need to commit today to be thankful. Know when is enough. Know when too much is too much. Know when that if you have too much, it can kill you just as enough as of not having any. And the last one is thanks living. Giving our text. Verse 4 says, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Here's what I was saying before. Being thankful will change your life if you let it. Some of you will get that, and some of you will walk away and not get it. But I'm telling you, God's principle says and proves it in His Word, and will prove it in your life. If you will get an attitude of being thankful, God can change your life. Thankfulness will increase your personal happiness. I guarantee it. Because I'm standing on God's Word. Your happiness is not based on what you have or what you're going through or in circumstances. Your happiness has to be based on your attitude as you're going through it. The Bible tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Paul wrote this verse while he was chained to a guard in prison. He learned to be content. He learned to understand that in God it was enough. When God was in the center of it, he knew that God would protect him. And thankfulness will enhance your relationship with God and others around you. Husbands, how much better would your marriage be? And how improved would your marriage be if you told your wife how much you appreciated her? Now be careful, because she probably could have a heart attack. But be careful. Wives, how much would your marriage improve if you told your husband what he means to you and you show him respect? And how much would your prayer life increase? Now get this, drawing this home. How much would your prayer life be if your prayer life began with thanking God for what He's already done for you instead of, oh God, here I am again. And begin to just lay out all these things that God needs to do. How much more would your prayer life mean? How much more would God want to do in your life? All these relationships, husband, wife, and God, all of these relationships would be energized. All of these would be changed. See, the enemy of thanksgiving is what? Complaining. That's the enemy of thanksgiving. It's complaining. When your nature is to complain rather than to give thanks, you're heading in the wrong direction. And you need to ask God to change your attitude, because they have a hard time coexisting in the same heart. And realize this as I close this out. If you have food in your refrigerator, if you have clothes on your back, if you have $20 in your wallet, you are richer than 75% of the world today. 75% of the world. Here's how I'm going to close this morning as we just prepare for Thanksgiving and as you just prepare your heart. I want you to just think about what God's done for you. Get past that just for a moment. You know, in your own mind, right where you're at, how many things do you have to be thankful for? And I guarantee if we took the time to just stay here and you got to meditate on that a little bit and start looking back, I guarantee that the blessings would outweigh the things you're going through. They would outweigh all of the negatives. Thanking God for our salvation. Thanking Him for His Word that gives us direction. Now maybe for some this morning, he's saying maybe you need to get there a little more. Maybe you need to return there, but thanking Him for His grace that just forgives you. How many know God is good and forgives us and checks us out and helps us and thanks us by His mercies that preserves us? Anybody besides me ever did something dumb and at the end of that you go, oh, thank God for your mercy. Whatever else comes to your mind this morning, thank God for it. The Bible tells us, give thanks to the Lord for He is good. His love endures forever. Just out of your heart, you have to meet this as we close in prayer here. It's very easy to allow circumstances and situations to just get in front of what's going on. And like I said, I know a lot of what's going on in some of your life. But I guarantee if you'll do this morning, if you'll focus more on God's goodness and the things that God has already done and begin to praise and thank Him for those things, I guarantee once your focus changes that you're going to come back and realize that God has done some amazing things in those very circumstances that had you worried or had you upset or had you wondering what's going to happen. I guarantee He's going to get involved. And then you're going to see